Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower and I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find Warn Radio on USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com, and you can find the shows in our posts for listening and downloading. You can also find our websites via the Spreaker app on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is also on the following website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the shows where you heard us. And do not miss these posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We're featuring four this week: Goodness of the Lord in the Land of the Living. Goodness of the Lord, mercy, goodness, courage, and faith in the land of the living. And you know, that's a great phrase. Goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We also have Prophetic End Time Shaking and Division. Prophetic end time is revealed by the continual shaking of nations, dividing of people, and tearing down of principalities. Also, discern signs amidst the times. Discern times. The signs are evident, allowing us to discern the times in which we live. When dealing with signs, wonders, and prophecy, and plain good sage teachings from the apostles, one must pay attention. And last but not least, the apocalypse waits for no one. The apocalypse waits, or does it? While the world marches on in all its faint-hearted glory, the apocalypse will wait for none of them. Be sure to go to Warn-USA for the latest post, Christian Persecution Today, the Gospel News on Classic Warn Radio. Christian persecution of Christian believers is never far away. Despite this persecution, we find the miraculous occurring, and today we have the stories of the Lord moving in the lives of believers and unbelievers. And on Dana Glenn Smith, Steal the Darkness, Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracies. Steal the Darkness is the ground floor of a secretive move to destroy America. Published in 2017, it details this event. Book 2, The Rising, takes this further and is due out in late 2021. Be sure to go to danaglennsmith.com where you can sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter, and also visit our Christian books and resource shop on the site where we feature Christian books and other resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. This is the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome you to Friday morning. Sound the shofar. It's a cool morning here. Gets hot in the daytime, cool at night. That's the way we like it. But not too hot. We are in Hebrews, a new study. Romans, the book of Romans, is up on our websites. And that consists of 30 parts. This one, we're in part two right now. A lot of stuff happening. We lost servicemen for the first time in a long time in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with radical Islam, that's what you can expect. And we've been reporting on the persecuted church. 9 times out of 10, they pick soft targets, villages of Christians. They're outgunned and outmanned, the Christians. These people come and they have all autos firing. They've got four wheels with a 50 caliber or something on it. And they just blow the living daylights out of the village. And they kill and rape and pillage and burn. Islam is making jihad throughout Africa and many parts of the world. Only in the West are we too ignorant to see it. And if there's ever a war in America, Islam will be in on it. You can write that down. Because we've got radical Islamic groups right now. Meanwhile, the socialists that are in the White House and all around the government don't have one clue as what they're doing. Not one. Even the generals. Sad to say, it's one of the most pathetic responses to anything I've ever seen. Biden couldn't even look in the camera and act like he was sincere in apologizing. Trump came out, and he does this. Gave a sincere, heartfelt from him and Melania. Condolences to the family for the death. These people. Well, and the reason we have poor management at the top in the presidency and throughout our government is because we have a problem in America, and it's called sin. And because this nation was, I say was, you know, it had a foundation of Christian, Judeo, ethics, teachings, people that followed them. Now, Barack Obama and a bunch of others came out and said, well, you know, Islam was prominent in the fall, in the beginning of America. No, it wasn't. That's a lie. Now, Jews were in the beginning. There was Jewish money that, and people that helped support this young colony, as well as friends in France. England was no help, not until we beat them. We did make deals. We did make peace with some of the Islamists over in Africa and stuff for shipping and trade. But here in America, you know, the faith in God was very, very important to a lot of people. Now see, history and a lot of liberal teachings make the Puritans look like a bunch of morons and idiots and people that want to kill people and And I've seen some of their documentaries. But the bottom line of it is that God has blessed this nation over the years, and we've fallen away. The church has stopped preaching the gospel. A lot of things happened. So America's facing judgment. And this ain't the toughest judgment either. This is just the beginning throes. And that doesn't mean it's all going to happen at once. No, not at all. So today we're in chapter 2. The Son of Man. The name of this is Book of Hebrews, Son of God, Great Salvation, Part 2. Paul is sending word to the Hebrews, the Jews. Now there are Gentiles that became involved in Judaism. And that wasn't abnormal at all. But in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's coming from, and I believe Paul wrote this. We discussed who wrote it. But whether he did or not, this is a good word. And, you know, it's good advice today. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And I'm not talking about this lip service bull that we get in the news and off the liberal media and everything, or from some of these slipshod liberal preachers we got out there. I'm talking about a real thing that's going to do you some good, and that's coming from the straight, direct apostolic teaching given by a preacher that knows it's the truth. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. We have an earnest heed for a lot of things in America, but getting into the Word of God isn't one of them. Thank God there's a few like that. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Well, we ought to take heed. Now, it's interesting to note, because a lot of the apostles, you know, in the writings, we always hear about the angelic presence. And we also hear about the angels that fell. And if the angels of God, who minister directly with the Lord God, can fall, then it shouldn't be surprising that man in the beginning fell. But see, the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is to get everybody to understand that there's a cure for the fall. So verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Nothing more true. Neglect. Forget. Don't pay heed to, don't give enough attention to, consider it a light thing, not purposeful, not passing it on to our children, not relating it to our friends, not warning the nation we live in that if they go astray, there's judgment. Not letting our nation know that in that judgment there is a way to escape through repentance. Until that final hour of the great white throne judgment. until you take your last breath and you pass this mortal coil, you have hope. I've said it a lot. There's no reason for a human being to die and go to hell. There is a lot of reasons for a human being to die. And those reasons are simply put, wrapped into one thing. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. But until that point, kids, there's hope. There's no need for you to die and go to Sheol and perish in hellfire. And you listen to voices that you shouldn't be listening to. You think it's cool when you get on all your phones, you have your private chats, and you follow some of this nonsense. You be careful of the road you're traveling, because it's going to lead you to hell if it doesn't have Jesus Christ on it. You can take that, not to the bank, they're a bunch of thieves. You can take that straight with the truth of the Word of God. Now, we covered chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, the angels of God are required to worship Him. They're going to worship Him. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, He's called. And in Hebrews chapter 1, 10 through 12, He is eternal. He's not just some man. He's not just some teacher. He's not just a good fella. He's not just a great prophet. He is the Son of Almighty God and our Father, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't call our God Allah. Allah is a generic word for God. There's lots of gods out there. And the true and the living God has a Son who died on the cross for our sins. That is the difference between going to hell as a Muslim and going to heaven as a Muslim who has repented and received the Lord. There's a difference. There's a whole pile of Muslims out there that found the truth. There's a whole pile of Jews that found the truth. There's a whole pile of dirty, rotten, stinking Gentiles, the unclean ones. Oh, we were the worst, weren't we? No, we weren't, but the Jews thought we were at one time. So did the others. Matter of fact, in today's society, if you're in Afghanistan, these Muslims who are running around there think that they have the right to end the life of anybody they want to. They have the right to molest little girls and make them pregnant and be happy about it. They're sealing their doom. And they're going to go to hell if they don't wake up. Most of them will never wake up. But there are Muslims today that have come to the Lord. Lots of them. And one of the major denominations, not a denomination, a group of churches, they are out there. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want them targeted. And they have nothing to do with me. I found them. Or they found me. But there's a lot of others out there working too. And are coming to the Lord. So it doesn't make any sense to live life and then go to hell and burn in the fire. That doesn't make any sense at all. Christ made it possible for you. But you're too stubborn, too busy, too tired, too caught up in Satanism. Yes, kids are caught up in Satanism, and so are adults, and so are your people in your government. Matter of fact, I would tell you that in the government today, you have a whole sordid mess of black magic and pure black Satanism and sacrifices of the innocent. And one of the best satanic sacrifices you can give, it is an innocent baby born fresh out of the womb of a woman, and you sacrifice it to Satan. And you drink the blood, you smear it on, and have all kinds of sex, rejoicing in the freedom of the one that's going to send you to hell. But he doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell because you refuse the truth. And there's coming up a judgment listed by Paul in 2 Thessalonians. And God is going to send a delusion because you reject the truth. But the truth is, it's a great salvation. And there's no need for you to go to hell, as I've said several times now. But how are you going to escape the wrath of God? And it's coming. Well, see, the whole thing that's brought up, so great a salvation. And he goes on to say, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, there's the source, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Who were those that heard him? The first ones were the disciples who became the apostles. But you see, before the apostles became disciples, they were like the rest of the Jews running around. They had just been introduced to the Lord. He had begun his ministry. So great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You know, that's a short sentence relatively, but it is packed. God bore them witness. The Lord was pleading with the Jews, or telling them, if you don't believe me for the work's sake, for it's my Father in heaven which does them, speaking of the signs and wonders. And a little phrase, with divers miracles, like raising Lazarus from the dead. There's a lot of others. The healing and deliverance of the demoniac. He had done things that nobody had done in presence of these Jews, or in the presence of any Gentile that happened to see him. But see, we get in a rut as humans. Everybody's like us. We're born of a woman, except if you're in today's society where some guy who thinks he's a woman becomes a transgender because they can grow breasts today. They haven't been able to figure out how to make the egg of the woman or get to duplicate all the feminine parts that make her a woman where she can bear children. So then some of the crazy women who want to become a man, they start begin to change, but they keep their feminine parts, and this has happened. So then they have a baby and they claim a guy had a baby. Yeah, right. We have screwed up everything. Because we're in the time of lawlessness. Now see, politically correct says the LGBTQ is okay. As is, well, you know, Biden dealing with the Taliban. They even gave the Taliban the list of all those we wanted out of Afghanistan that we knew that were there. you're dealing with people that get little 12-year-old and 15-year-old girls pregnant, and even 9-year-old. And they think that's okay. These are the kind that will beat women into submission, rape any woman they want to, kill anybody they want to. And that's somebody you're going to trust? Well, Biden and his administration did. Now we have 12, 13 I think it is now, servicemen that died in this fiasco that the Biden administration put on. And this happened because of sin. And you can find it in Scripture. You can find that when the wicked rule, it's not a good thing. Make no mistake, the people ruling America today are wicked and unclean. Well, Trump was just as wicked. Yeah, you didn't like him, did you? Because when he got on social media, he told you a thing or two. Well, you don't have to worry about that. They won't let him on Twitter. But they'll let the Taliban leader, who has his hands full of uncleanness. We wouldn't know what truth is if we painted a picture and stuck it in front of them. See, this is the problem. The world, and it's not just America, there's a lot of them out there. The nations of men are going to face judgment. God, when you turn around, and you wind up in the very, very end of days in the judgment, and Christ comes again, he's going to come again to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. There's people that actually put it in their agenda to destroy the earth. They're willing to destroy the earth in order to get their agenda what they want. And I can tell you one group that'll do that, and that's the Muslims. And there's been other religious groups that were willing to destroy everything in order to bring in what they believe to be the truth. But thank God that there is a great salvation. Thank God that there is a Savior who came and did miracles and signs and wonders and taught his disciples all about it. Verse 5, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And it's spoken in the Psalms, chapter 8, verse 4 through 9, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. That's Yahshua. Thou madest him to have the dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Yeah, I read that 2 times. Everything is under his feet. Even the stuff we're going through now, we're in the earth, and there's tribulation, there's death, there's trouble, there's also victory, there's goodness. We've got places up here that we can go, and it's like a paradise. And you wouldn't think anything is going on in the world. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It's not surprising that they named sheep and oxen, because that was the mainstay. Then you have the beasts of the field, which usually they were fighting with to keep them out away from their flocks. You had the fowl of the air in Israel, of course. There was a miracle when they were coming out of Egypt, where God blew in a wind and they had a bunch of birds come in so they could eat. The fish of the sea. Children of Israel know very well about the sea because it was parted. And then, of course, they learned to live by the sea and fish. Remember the apostles, they were fishers of men. But they were fishermen. But they didn't know what everything is, so it says, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. You know, that could include a lot of stuff, including the UFOs that people have claimed to see in the sea. There's a whole other teaching, a whole other thing on that. And many years ago, Marzulli and I and many others were covering a lot of that. I don't know what he's doing now. But he's probably pretty close to the same arena he was. But we did a lot of interviews on all of that. And I don't care what it calls itself. I don't care if they live under the earth and they claim to be an alien, or they live on top of Old Smoky and claim to be an alien. I don't care if they're flying in a craft and claim to be alien, or they're under the seas and claim to be alien. Every principality, every power, everything, anything at all that lives, moves on this planet and throughout the universe, everything that God made, the Son of God is in charge, and these other forces, these other things, are totally 100% under his authority. They can't even move unless he okays it. And I don't care. Anything that steps out of the craft and it claims to be the Son of God, that is an imposter. And that's a whole other teaching, too, for that people did. Back in the 80s, they were talking about Christ as an alien going to come back. And there's so much of this nonsense. But some people believe it. And they believe other things. You know, there are scary beasts in the forest. If you talk to the Indians, and usually their verbal history is pretty accurate. There is something they've seen. They used to talk about wild hairy men that lived in the mountains. Some of them were very violent and would eat humans. But speaking of the Son of God, Hebrews writes in verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. When he created man was, we're just a tad bit lower. We're just a tad bit inferior. And we're just a tad bit inferior for a little time. And that little tad bit of inferiority is called sin. And the Son of God will deliver you from that sin. And then, when his kingdom comes in, you would have only been inferior for a little time, okay? So you're on this planet, you're born, and you're born into sin. I remember a Catholic asked me one time, so do you believe in original sin? Well, of course you do. That's what it is. Catholics don't. They don't like that term. But see, there's another thing that goes along with it, the age of accountability. God is not going to judge a baby. God judges sin when man is old enough to make these decisions. God is a judge. But see, there is that place. You know, the angels wondered, why did you make man? Look at him. Now, we don't know if they're actually thinking this, but if I was an angel looking at man, at what man's doing, I'd say, Lord, it really stumps me as to why you made him. Look at him in the earth. Look what they do to each other. Look at him. But see, God loves us all. That's why he sent his son. You know, we classify this as, well, if we go sin, we're a sinner. No, it works like this. You're a sinner, and you're going to sin. You're going to have the trouble with sin. You're going to have that plague you until the Son of God you receive. Confess your sins, receive him. John 1. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If I have someone coming up to my house, they knock on the door. I sit in here, I'm working on the computer, I'm writing some articles or something. Hello, how you doing? Well, I come by. Can you open the door? No, no. I'm busy. He keeps yapping. I'm just here doing my own thing. That's not receiving him. I have to open the door and talk to him. Open the door, receive him. How you doing? Yeah. Is this what you need? Can I come in for a minute? Well, I don't allow people in. Or, yeah, I do. Come, you can sit at the table here. But you got to receive him. And see, Revelation points it out. Think of the Laodicean church here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And for a long time, forever, the church has used that little phrase there for people to receive the Lord. The Lord standing at your door knocking, but actually that particular thing is with the Laodicean church. And he's standing at the door of the church. And remember, we are the church. We're the ecclesia, not the bricks and stone. And so we've thrown him out. And he's knocking at the door. Open the door. I'll come in and sup with you. I'll sit down with you. Remember when Yahshua was walking on the street. This is in the early part of his ministry. And he had some people come up and ask him, men, master or rabbi, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. Now you see, he was all God and all man. He humbled himself, gave up his glory, and agreed to come. The suffering servant. And that's what the Jews didn't pick up on. A lot of them. And even today. But there are rabbis teaching about Yahshua, Jesus Christ. He was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. And that's very important. At Lazarus, when everybody was gathered around for Lazarus, and they were actually mourning him, Christ had come to raise him from the dead because he is the resurrection and the life, and he made a display that that's exactly what he is. He just didn't do miracles to do miracles. He wanted to heal the people. He wanted to deliver the people. He wanted the people to believe on him. But he also wouldn't put up with any nonsense from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers. He called them snakes and vipers. And he says, when you get done with your own disciples that you're taking, you make them twofold more the child of hell. A lot of the Jesus movies I've seen in my life, they make Jesus into some kind of a pansy waste. But he was a real man. He was compassionate. Men should be compassionate. He was firm, authoritative. He had power. Miracles and signs and wonders followed him. He had supernatural confirmation from the Father, and it happened in the physical. And he was touched. You know, there's a little phrase, and he healed them all. How would you like to have a healing meeting? And when I think of some of the great evangelists that carried healing meetings, I think of Oral Roberts in the beginning. I didn't really agree with a lot of his stuff he was doing later on. But I don't know about his kids. I don't know what they're doing. I don't follow all them. I don't follow men. I teach the Word of God. I'm a Christ follower. I expect people to get the Word of God, listen to it, get into it, and become a Christ follower. Following the Son of God, taking up the cross and moving forward. I'm not here to build a kingdom. I'm not here to build a church. I'm not here to get everybody, you know, to follow me on whatever social media. I don't care. I've got the Word of God. It goes out. You either receive it or you don't receive it. You either listen or you don't listen. Because you have a choice. But I can tell you, wisdom is on your side if you receive the Son of God. Wisdom is not on your side if you disavow him and go your own way. Because the wisdom of the world is an enmity with God. Wisdom of the world, you'll never get to know the Son of God nor the Father. And this is evident by the statement when the Lord said, there's coming a day when those who kill you will think they're doing God a service. That's happening. Muslims do it all the time. Not all the Muslims. These are the radical jihadists. I mean, I've talked to Muslims. I've spent some time in the car with Muslims. Sunni Muslims. We had a good conversation. Both about Jesus, Yahshua. And everything else. And I don't hate Muslims. Matter of fact, they can claim Father Abraham too. They came out of Ishmael. God didn't just throw him out. But see, Ishmael was not the one that the promise is going to go through. It was going to be Isaac. So Hagar took Ishmael and they left. An angel found them. And God made a promise that they would become a great kingdom, and they have. It's important for Ishmael to get saved. It's important for Isaac to get saved. And it's important for the Gentiles to get saved who are grafted in. For God loves all. He didn't want the Muslims going to hell. He don't like what they're doing. And he don't like what some of the rest of them are doing either. Christ died for all. He ain't an American white guy God. And I can see why some of the Indian tribes thought that. Because the people that were doing Christianity at the time did have some things they shouldn't have done. But they did them. They didn't know any better. But the bottom line of it is that when I went to Bible college, majoring in the ministry. Now, there's a good way to go to college and graduate with a major that most of the world could care less about. You want to make money, go be a lawyer. You know, a lot of them, you know, they're snakes. I did see a bunch of those that were still pushing, still investigating the election cheating fraud that they were doing. A judge censored them. Didn't like them doing that. Tough. He probably a liberal judge. We got judges that are unjust. So, what am I saying? Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. And the part I'm getting to. And did set him over the work of his hands, the works of thy hands. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He has yet to come back and fulfill some of the major promises. And this has to do with these particular promises that were given to David. And we call it the millennial reign of Christ. And he will literally be ruling on this earth. He will take up a throne. And he speaks of his throne. And he says, you will sit alongside me on my throne, just like I did with my father on his throne. See, today, the Son of God is at the right hand of the Father. But when he comes on the earth, and he's the millennial reign of Christ, he will be on the throne ruling it. But when everything is settled, and Corinthians lays this out, he's going to give the kingdom and everything back to his Father so that everything will be all in all. There, like someone said, he isn't trying to replace the Father. This isn't like a corporation where you kick out the one dude and you get another. Or you get a woman, or whatever. The dominion of man. And see, today in the earth, Christ is Lord over all. God the Father is God over all, but there's a dominion that he gave unto us. He gave us dominion and authority. And you can see man and his nature ruling the earth. And it's going to be absolute and total until Christ comes, and then they're going to judge. There will be the judgment of nations. There will be the great white throne judgment. Barnes says of this, nothing was to be accepted. But when Christ came, man by himself has dominion on the earth, but they don't have total dominion. You can't control the angels. You can't do much of anything unless you come to the Lord, because on the earth, in the form of man, he conquered everything. He was resurrected from the dead. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Revelation, he calls himself the Almighty. And his dominion is absolute and universal. Albert Barnes, and I agree with him. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. And the Lord took on the nature of man, not the sinful nature. But he was born in the body, born of a woman, not angels. Because he was going to face the suffering of death. He was going to be crowned with glory and honor. And because of the grace of God, God's favor, he tasted death for every person on this earth. There's no other sacrifice, no other Savior, no other God, nobody anywhere. And because it had to be done, because there was a little deal with the blood. You see, there's a curse associated with the shedding of blood. And so it would take the blood of a man, not just any man, but the Son of God, the perfect man, shedding his blood, fully God and fully man, in order to redeem us. And the minute that was done, redemption kicked in full gear. It had already been in gear, but now the process, the one thing they needed, was accomplished. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. That's us, the believers. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Remember, we're not just redeemed because we're redeemed. We're redeemed by the power of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our body is the temple of the Spirit of God. And while we're not perfect yet, we are sanctified, set aside, regenerated. We have the Spirit of God working in us. Like it says in John, 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he, meaning the Lord, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Christ deals with us, sanctifies us, makes it possible for us to walk like him, be like him. And since Christ came, we've seen miracles and signs and wonders done in His name through His followers. And even today, and even around the world, and even in America, in our family we see miracles. In our family we see presence of God. He does not leave you or forsake you. He's in charge. And that's why you praise Him in the church, out of the church. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in Him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, we're not subject to bondage anymore. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. I think that's one of the greatest things there is. We can believe for healing. We can hope. We have, and the biggest thing is that you've got power and authority in the name of the Lord. And in this life, you can live for Him. But more importantly, after this life, and that is very important to me. It was to Paul too. If in this life only we had Christ, Paul said, we would be of all men most miserable. And that's the truth. Father, thank you for your word. Bless those that hear this whenever they hear it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Don't forget to check out all the articles on warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to give them a like. Send them around to your friends. Let people know about the websites. We are on a lot of social media. So warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And I hope you have a good weekend. Hope you're having a good life. Pray for those left in Afghanistan. Pray for your country, wherever you're at. Pray for your family to be delivered from the evil. I speak a lot about that because the Lord spoke a lot about that. He will deliver you from the evil. And I know a lot of Christians have faced that evil. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. Till next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.